All right. Thank you, Leah. Appreciate that special. There's plenty of room for a lot of us to help bear the cross. Amen. Well, I'm going to give you an easy book to find this morning. Go to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 12 this morning. Sometime when the trouble piles up and things look kind of bad, it's good to go to the back of the book and see who wins. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning. Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. We'll find out who wins. Amen. We recognize it's going to take a little while because there's 17 verses. And if I get to talking about them all, how many of you need to miss a meal or two anyway? I'm scared some of you right now. I can get the vibes, amen. A little bit like the snowy day at church when only the old farmer showed up and the preacher. Preacher didn't know what to do, just he and the old one farmer showed up. So he went out and said to him, he said, "Look, it's just you and I. Do you think I ought to preach or not?" And the guy said, "Well, I don't know much about preaching," but he said, "I'll tell you this, if I went out to feed the cows and only one of them showed up, I'd feed her." So the preacher got up and preached and preached and preached. At the door, he said, "Well, what'd you think?" He said, "Well, I don't know much about preaching. But," he said, "if I went out to feed the cows and only one showed up, I certainly wouldn't give her all the feed." So, look out for all the feed. Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to have to read the 17 verses. Listen, it would be a blessing if you just look at your Bible and get the words as we read it. If that's all I did, that's not all I'm going to do. I'm not making any promises. But it'll be a blessing if you just look at it and read along in your mind, all right? There appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly away into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nursed for a time, and times, and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you just a little bit of a setting here on the book of Revelation. In this passage that I'm reading here, it takes place probably in the mid part of the what we call the seven-year tribulation. The book of Revelation is very concise. It tells us here that this last half of the tribulation period is 1,260 days. It says that in verse 6, feed there 1,200, that's 12, and 70 days, that's 60, 1,260 days in verse 6. It mentions it again in verse 14, and in verse 14 it calls it a time, that's 1, times, that's 2, and then a half a time. And that's the same period as 1,260 days. Now, we're talking about in the midst of the tribulation period, in the midst of the 7 years, a time when Satan is at war in heaven with Michael and his angels, and Satan loses the battle, and he's cast out down on the earth for that last part of the time of the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period in the scripture, a lot of confusion, a lot of heresy being taught on it, and a lot of you ought to watch out what you're getting over the internet when it contradicts the Bible. Amen. I use a name. There's a fellow out there on the internet called Steve Anderson, and he's messing up a bunch of folks in churches like mine and others, where people go to the internet instead of going to the Bible and the church and the pastor that's been feeding them for years and years. They are looking for something new out there, and the devil is giving it to them. Better watch out for that junk. Steve Anderson is anti-Semitic. He says there was no Holocaust. He's written that there's put out a video, the Holocaust hoax. He was seen wearing a T-shirt up in Detroit, Michigan, advertising the Palestinian state. And if you know anything about Dearborn, Michigan, you know that's where the Muslims live today. You better watch it when you get against Israel, especially in this day and time. And yet moving into churches and saying, well, the tribulation period is not given to the Jews. Yes, it is. It's the day of Jacob's trouble. And you and I as a church have no business worrying about it. God's going to take us out of here. And in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, John is caught up into heaven when he hears a trumpet talking, and he's caught up to the throne of God. And John's a great representative of the church, and I'm part of it because I'm born again in Jesus Christ, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Now, you say, what about the rapture? You set the date. No, if I could, I would, and yet you'd already be out of here if you're saved. I can't, and nobody else can, and I understand that. The pagans tried to advertise up in 2012. I was pulling for them to be right. I'd already been in heaven 3 years, amen? They were wrong, and I don't know when it is, but as we heard Sandy sing in this moment, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in an instant, we could be gone, and that's going to happen one of these days. Now, the truth of the matter is the Jews are excited about next month, September, and it's okay with me. I just soon go. They're talking about the blood moons, and they're talking about it being the sabbatical year, and it falling on a feast day of Israel, and it looks like, yeah, that's pretty interesting, but we don't know. In the meantime, we occupy, keep trying to win souls, keep trying to preach the gospel, keep trying to send the missionaries until Jesus says it's enough. Amen. But you know, I see the evil today, and I just wonder how much worse it can get. It amazes me how low America has sunk from where she was, not only in the beginning, but through our history. How we've taken a nosedive, as it were, into evil. As many of you have seen on the news recently where they videoed the people selling the baby body parts. That's gross. That's unbelievable almost, and yet they're still taking my tax money and yours and giving it to that outfit, Planned Parenthood, that's doing that business. And by the way, the liberals in Congress, when here just last week they tried to get a thing to stop the tax money, but the liberal politicians in Congress vetoed it or stopped it. Obama said he would veto it. Help yourself. You're in the wrong place. If you, I'll tell it like it is here, brother. The truth of the matter is evil. But by the way, they are trying to prosecute the folks that made the video, that caught them, that exposed them. That's sort of like if somebody witnessed a murder, Scotty, and reported it, then they get prosecuted for reporting it. No different. Same thing. It's an evil time. Now, if you want to know where that evil originates, we just read about him here in the chapter. And we'll say a little bit about it here. Revelation 12, though, tells us who wins, praise God. Amen. I want you to notice the characters here. We're going to see the characters in the portion I read. Then we're going to see the contest. Then we're going to see the cause. And we're going to see the culmination of it, or the climax. Think about it, the characters. The woman. A lot of debate in religious circles about who the woman is. It says there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under. All you got to do is read the book of Genesis and find out that the woman is pictured in Israel. Very clear. Religion say, well, that's one of our saints, so that's Mary. No, it's not Mary. It is Israel. And it is Israel in the past. And in a sense, still now, but in the past. Now, the red dragon shows up, and the red dragon is identified here in verse 9. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, there's his name, and Satan. What does he do? Which deceiveth the whole world. Boy, he's doing a good job of that today. Doing a good job, and has been for a long time. So you have the characters, you have the woman. And then you have the red dragon. Now, you can trace the devil through Scripture pretty well. He started off as a covering cherubim in Ezekiel 28. He falls down. He goes through the fall in his pride, Isaiah 14. He exalts himself, tries to, over the throne of God in his pride, and God cast him down, and he becomes the red dragon of Scripture. By the way, you ever see the Chinese celebrations with the dragon? They're not too far off. They're not too far off. You study a little bit about it in history. The Bible says that to you and I as saints, he appears as an angel of light to deceive us. But God sees him as a red dragon, sees him in all of his evil appearance. And you got a lot of pagans in the sense, a heathen, you might want to say, he's deceived, and through history, he's behind much of the false religion. And when the Chinese worship the dragon, they're not too far off from the devil getting pictured as he really does exist. There's always some truth behind some of the things that go on in the world. I see the characters here. I see the woman. I see the devil. I see Michael the archangel that leads the forces of heaven against the dragon and is able to cast him out. And then I see the contest here. Look at it in verse 7. And it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, I want to say to you, the Bible tells us we're involved in a spiritual warfare. There's been a struggle going on from the fall in the garden on, in which Satan has done his best to destroy that is precious to God, and that's his own creation and his own people. There's been a warfare going on. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers in high places. Rulers of darkness in high places. Listen, do you understand? And we'd be very wise people when we're struggling to not zero in too much on flesh and blood, but the evil behind it, the devil behind it. Yeah. Somebody said that if you throw a rock at a cat, and that's a good thing, but throw a rock at a cat, the cat will look at the rock. But if you throw a rock at a dog, the dog will look at the person that threw the rock. That means a dog's smarter than a cat. Science now teaching you this morning. Now listen to me. We ought to be at least as smart as a dog. We ought to know it's the devil throwing the rock. We ought to see the evil personality, as it were, behind the deeds. And as we look on the scene in America today, and we could spend all morning talking about the evil that we see, we got to understand Satan is having his way. He's throwing the rocks. He is deceiving the nations, as the scripture here says, and he's having his way in so many ways. And that's why you and I, as God's people, ought to be involved in the warfare of prayer, resisting him. Amen. I see the contest here in verse 7. War. Now, young people, listen to me. Run your antenna up. We old folks know more than you think we know. Here's Star Wars in your Bible. Did you see that? You didn't see it? Look at it again here in verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels was cast. Where was he cast out from? Out of heaven. There was war in heaven. There was, if you please, Star Wars in heaven. You read the book of Revelation and find out God calls some of the heavenly personalities stars. When we say there's stars out in Hollywood, we're not thinking about the little twinkle, twinkle little star in the sky. We're generally thinking about harlots and whoremongers out there that get paid for something depicted evil most of the time. Help yourself. The truth of the matter is that Star Wars have been going on for a long time. It just didn't start with Luke Skywalker or whatever his name was. This didn't start then. It's been going on up there much more than these computer-generated movies can even begin to depict. One day on the other side, we'll know a lot more about it. Ronald Reagan, the president, bluffing out communism, warned them that he was about Star Wars. He was talking about satellites and missiles and so forth up there. And we done a good thing under President Reagan to bluff communism down. But boy, are they rejoicing now. They're happy folks over there now. Because we went ahead and surrendered everything and paid the expenses of letting Iran go nuclear. And that's the buddy with Russia. Say, well, how you know? Well, I know what the Bible says. It says they're going to get together. It says they're going to come against Israel. There's going to be a nuclear blast that takes place, not just one, a bunch of them. And far as Star Wars go today, yeah, there's satellites up there right now, they tell me, that can shoot missiles down on the earth. I'm sure they got that. But here's the big Star War, brother. Here's God's Star Wars. And here's God defeating the very beginning of where that evil started, and that's with the devil. Verse 7 says here that the dragon was cast out. Now, look at it in verse 9 and 10. Look at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. I like this. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Let me tell you something. Your opposition's in heaven. Your prosecuting attorney that accuses you is in heaven before the throne of God. And I want to say something to you. This is going to blow your mind a little bit if you think about it. He's accusing me all the time before God. He's accusing you all the time before God. But I want to tell you something. He's not lying on me. He's not lying on you. Because you can't lie to God, and the devil knows that. My trouble is I give him too much ammunition to report on me. And so do you. So do you. And he's busy. He don't miss any of it. Uh-huh, Lord, look over there. But now I got good news for you. There's somebody else up there around the throne. It's called the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's our advocate. Oh, he's the lawyer on our side. He's the one when Satan says, all right, you see, Mickey Carter, he ought to have done this. He should have done that. And he didn't do it. And Jesus steps up and says, that sin's under my blood. You understand? That's what's going on in the court of heaven. But there's a warfare. There's a struggle. Paul warns us about it and how we have to be careful about it. But the contest has been going on for a long, long time. I like this where it says, he gets cast out, which accused them before our God day and night. Hey, he's not going to be able to do that one day. He's doing it now, but he's not going to be able one day. Look at it in verse 11, how these saints that he accused overcome him. They'll come him by what? The blood of the Lamb. Not their baptism, not their church membership, not their deeds that they did that were good, but by the blood of the Lamb. You know, the only way your sins can be forgiven is by the blood of the Lamb. Oh no, joining the church won't make it happen. Getting baptized won't make it happen. Being good to your neighbor won't make it happen. But trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and letting his blood cover your sins. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When you get saved, you ought to try to live to have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, and they love not their lives unto, and what's the preposition here? The death. There's a certain death that takes place in the tribulation period. It's the death of people having their heads cut off because they won't receive the mark of the beast. Now, it won't be the church people that have been caught out in the rapture. It'll be those, it'll be Jews, and it'll be others, perhaps of a great multitude, that'll not receive the mark of the beast in the tribulation period, and they'll have their lives taken. And the scripture, and I won't turn to it, but it's very plain in the book of Revelation, the way they're killed is by having their heads chopped off. Now I want to ask you something. You know any religion chopping heads off today? We better watch out. It's taking over America right now. And it's being elevated. Our president celebrated Ramadan, one of their biggest holidays, several days of it, in the White House recently. And I may have told you about when the fella fired on the Army post, the recruiter's post in Tennessee. It was several days before we could lower the flags for those Marines that was killed, because Ramadan had to be finished before the flags could be lowered. That's sickening, isn't it? In America. Yes, it is. But you know, sad truth is, that's the case right now. I won't dwell on it much, but it's called the death in the book of Revelation. Particular kind of way that they died. They have their heads chopped off. I'm not saying it is Islam chopping them off, but it appears it could be. It's going to be a religious order that somebody will not worship their leader, and their heads are going to be chopped off. Do you know a religion today that will kill somebody if you don't worship their leader? Yes, you do. You're hearing about it all the time. Certainly you are. I see the contest here, but thank God it's coming a time that old accuser is kicked out. Amen. And it says in verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. I mean, the angels are going to rejoice when they're finally able to kick him out. Michael and his angels are going to rejoice in the heavens, but look what it says in verse 12. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he have but a short time. Now, I think this is in the midst of the tribulation period. He knows he's got just a little while to the end. He knows. Sure he does. He's desperate when this happens. Do you know what a football team that's fallen behind and the 2 minutes, last 2 minutes of the game comes, do you know that team gets desperate? Right. They have two-minute drills they go through to try to win the game in the last 2 minutes. Satan is going to be putting up the biggest fight that he can in his last 2 minutes. In his last 3.5 years, 1,260 days, he's going to be putting up a big fight. He's going to be desperate because he's about to wind up in the pit where he is ultimately going to go. And the Bible teaches about that very, very clearly. I want you to see, though, the characters, the contest. Now look at the cause. The cause is a conflict that began way back in the first book of the Bible. We're in the last book of the Bible. First book of the Bible is Genesis. In chapter 3 of Genesis, God comes walking in the cool of the day. Satan has come in, the first couple that God created, Adam and Eve, and Satan has come in and deceived Eve and caused them to go into sin. And God has shown up in the cool of the day and cried out, Adam, where art thou? And he's brought them together and he's found out. He already knew, but he's making them confess what they've done. And Satan is present. And the Lord speaks to Satan in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And he told him, the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. Satan's head. He talks about the seed of the woman, and he talks about, in that verse, the seed of the serpent. And he says the seed of the woman is going to bruise the serpent's seed's head. Do you know who the seed of the serpent is? He finally culminates into a man we call the Antichrist. That's right. All down through the Bible, you find a conflict on earth, but also a conflict in heaven as the wars take place in heaven. And it finally comes down to the final scene where the Antichrist, the seed of the serpent, is bruised. He is finally defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the seed of the woman. That's why the virgin birth's important. It's not just a Christmas time story. It had to be the seed of the woman, not the seed of a man. Seed of the woman. And the truth of the matter is, the seed of the woman culminated in the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. And that baby in the manger is become the Christ that died on the cross, but more than that, he's coming back as the Christ of glory. And if you read in the previous chapter, chapter 11, verse 15, it says the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Reign forever and ever. He's the winner. But he's my Savior, so I'm winning also. I'm winning in him. Amen. Cause of the conflict? Oh, listen, Satan fights. He fights hard to keep his claim on everybody. Let me get a thought across to you. Hope you understand this. I don't know that I understand it when I first got saved. I probably had the idea when I first got saved, boy, everything's going to go perfect. Never hit my finger with a hammer again. Never stomp my toe again. Never run out of gas again. No. Just because you get born again and saved don't mean the devil gets off your case. He'll do everything he can after you've been saved, after you've trusted Christ, to keep you from being a testimony to reach somebody else. And we read here how they're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they love not their life unto death. Listen, after you're saved, you've got some responsibility to live for the Lord, to be a testimony to others. Amen? Be a witness to others. Let me explain something to you. I'll say something to some of you that haven't been saved too long. Listen to me. Were you surprised after you first got saved that everybody didn't say, yay? Huh? Are you surprised when you first got saved that even some of your family kind of mocked you? Kind of joked about you? Or some of the men you work with on the job, you say, are you going to be a goody-goody Christian now, are you? All of a sudden, they didn't really rejoice when they heard you got saved. That was my case. I'm pretty sure it was your case. Say, what's going on? Satan is not letting you alone just because you got saved. He wants to do anything he can to keep a claim on you to the place that you may be saved, but your testimony stinks so bad till nobody else is going to want what you got. Oh, yeah, he don't just give up on you. Well, he got saved. I can't send him to hell, but I'll tell you what he can do. He can use you to cause somebody else to go to hell, to make your profession of faith look vain and empty and false. And that's important to think about. That's what Satan wants, to keep his claim on you just as long as he can. That's what he's talking about here. And he continues to accuse us that are saved because he wants to mess up somebody else. Amen. You know, he didn't want to give up on you. That's the reason your friends tried to keep tempting you to go back with the drugs, go back with the bottle, go back with a sin life, go back with the gang. That's why they keep nagging at you to do that. Don't be surprised. The devil's behind that. He's the one that's behind. That's why it's important for you to come on to church and have friends that want to direct you the right way and help you the right way and fellowship with you and talk to you about what God has for you instead of trying to pull you back in that cesspool from which you got out when you trusted Christ. I say this to you. The devil wants to pull you back. But if I had time, we'd go on and read in the book of Revelation how that the day is going to come. The rapture is going to call out the bride, the church. And the day is going to, we read in the book of Revelation where there's a marriage supper of the Lamb. We read where Jesus, who, and I was talking in Sunday school, he is the groom. He is the one that has the bride. He is the one that's going to be a wedding in heaven. And that wedding, that bride, is going to be made up of those that was called out of impurity, but now they're pure. Called out of sin, now they're sinless in Christ. Every sin under the blood, a pure. That's what you read over there in Ephesians 5, where the Lord talks about the church being presented to him as one that's faultless, without blemish. Without blemish? You mean he saved a drunkard? He saved a harlot? He saved this one by the gutter and this one out of the sewer, and yet they become a pure bride? That's what the blood of Jesus can do for you. And one day we'll assemble with the groom at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Satan will no longer be able to accuse you, trip you up, or stain your testimony. Isn't that a wonderful day? That's something to rejoice about. That day is coming. It is coming. Now, let me say to you, every now and then somebody said, well, I got saved and I lost it. Well, if you really got saved, you hadn't lost it, because you didn't save yourself. You can't keep yourself. Only Jesus can save you, and only Jesus can keep you. And for the devil to get you back, he'd have to defeat every angel of heaven. He'd have to defeat the host of heaven. He'd have to win the war. But we read in the chapter where he loses the war. Preacher friend of mine tells a story that I love. He was a country boy. Good Christian family in the country. Older days. But one of the daughters of one of the family, when I say family, I'm not talking about necessarily the immediate family, but the kinfolks, the family. And one of the girls got enticed off, went bad, and for a good while ran with a bad crew. In fact, she was in a motorcycle gang, the worst image of the motorcycle gang, and she ran with them. Finally, like all gangs, when they'd used her up pretty much, they thought they had, they dropped her. Somehow or another, like the prodigal son, she went back home. And they met her with loving arms, and they nursed her back in the church, saved, born again, living for Jesus, living clean. And after a while in the church, God brought her together with a young man, and they began to see each other and date and finally planned a wedding. And the wedding day come, this preacher talking about his family said. Said, in the wedding day come, country church, they all gathered in. He said, all of her cousins and brothers. Said, just old farm boys. You could see they wasn't used to white shirts and coats. They were necks bulging out and ties that wouldn't quite tie around those big necks. And he said, all those cousins and brothers was there for the wedding. And said, as they began to get the wedding started, they heard a noise out on the parking lot. And they heard their Harleys coming up on the parking lot. Heard the motorcycles. And those big brothers and cousins went to the door, acting as ushers anyway. So some of the old motorcycle gang had come up. And they come up to the door, and they said, we won't end the wedding. And those old brothers and cousins said, you're not invited. You don't have an invitation. They said, yeah, but we know that girl that's getting married. We've been around with her quite a bit. We know a lot about her, and we'd like to go into the wedding. We'd like to say some things about her. Those old brothers and cousins said, you can't come in. You're not invited. To shorten up the story, they had a free fall around the doors. And those old farm boys just cleaned that motorcycle gang's plow and sent them packing. And the wedding went on as scheduled. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about the day when I stand as the bride of Christ alongside the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil may roar around on the parking lot, but he can't get in. Michael and his angels, they're not going to get by them. I'm going to stand as one pure in that past life. Can't come in and claim me no more. Because every sin I've ever committed, every evil thought I've ever had, washed clean under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning, if you'll come receive Jesus, I don't care what your past is, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And he'll receive you. And one day you'll stand justified as though you never, ever had that past. Never, ever done that wrong, done that sin. I say to you today, if you're not saved, you ought to come receive Christ. The world's going to get more evil. The devil's having his way right now. But he's not going to win. In Christ, we're winners. In Christ, we're the winners. Amen? Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. I've been born again. My sins are on the blood. I'm saved. If I died today, I'd go to heaven because of Jesus. Can you say that with the uplifted hand this morning all over this building? Thank God for so many hands. Dear friend, if you can't lift your hand, it's a no-so salvation. You know if you have Christ in your heart. You know if you've received him. If you don't know it, now's the time to receive him because time is short and it's fleeting away. Please don't wait too long. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. No, I don't, but Jesus does. And he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's you. Whosoever cometh unto me, will you come to him? He won't cast you out. He'll receive you. He'll cleanse your sin and write your name on heaven's roll. And one day you can stand in his presence as though you had no past, as though you had no sin. That's what you get when you get Jesus. This morning we're going to sing. I'm going to have a short prayer and we're going to sing. I invite you to leave that seat. Just meet me here at the front and say, preacher, you can say, I don't understand it all, but I just want to trust Jesus. Would you just, you try that. See what Jesus does for you. He'll save you if you let him. He certainly will. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation. For that one or how many out there that need Christ, I pray for their soul. Their soul right now needs to be saved. Thank you, Lord. You said whosoever will may come.